Hey there, this is James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems and BikeJames.com, and welcome back to another edition of the MTB Strength Coach Podcast. In this one, I'm continuing my series on the five essential elements of a mountain bike training program. And these are the five things that you got to make sure that you're covering in your training program if you want to be a good mountain biker and be able to see progress from year to year and have your best season possible next season. So the five elements, in case you've missed them, go over them real quick. First one is flexibility, and this lays the foundation for your ability to move efficiently and achieve the most efficient postures possible on the bike. The second is strength, and this is looking at your ability to create tension with those movement patterns and still maintain those optimal movements and postures. The last podcast that we did was over the next element, which was speed training, and this is that ability to quickly recruit those muscle fibers, quickly call upon that tension that you've built with strength while, again, still maintaining those optimal postures and movement patterns, just trying to minimize the breakdown that we see as we start to get more and more sport specific with our movements and speeds. And then endurance, which is what we're going to go over in this podcast, and that's your ability to endure in order to, you know, continue to fuel the movements and stuff that you need on the trail to ride as fast and as long as you need to. And then finally, the one we'll go over in the next podcast is skills. And again, kind of one of those elements that every rider knows that they need to work on, and a lot more riders are much more conscious about it now than they used to be, but still something that you want to make sure you have in your plan and some sort of, or in your program and some sort of plan for it. So jumping into endurance training. Now, endurance training is definitely everybody's favorite subject when it comes to mountain bike training. Everybody wants to know, how do I improve my endurance? And but hopefully, if you've been listening to this podcast series, you're starting to see that while endurance is a very, you know, is probably the most, it is the most specific quality that we want to train as mountain bikers, that it is built on the foundation of flexibility and strength and even speed training. I hope, again, if you didn't get a chance to listen to that last podcast, I encourage you to do it, because speed training is one of those elements that can enhance endurance. And if you're not using it, then you're leaving something on the table there. But the point is that you can't just focus on endurance training in order to improve your endurance. You got to make sure that you have the movement quality that you need, that you have the strength and the ability to create and control tension with those movements, and that you can do that quickly and it not overly tax you. And once those things are in place, then you have a really solid foundation to start working on your endurance. And again, like I mentioned earlier, endurance is the most specific of all of the qualities that we train, I guess with the exception of skill, obviously, but out of just the four physical qualities, the flexibility, the strength, the speed, and endurance, out of those four qualities, endurance is definitely the most specific one that we want to train. And so again, like, you know, what works for one athlete is not necessarily going to work for another athlete. And even within a given sport, like our sport, you know, what works for someone who does downhill racing or enduro racing isn't necessarily going to be the best cardio program for someone that does cross-country racing or multi-day stage racing. So again, understanding the specifics of what you're trying to improve when we're talking about endurance training is extremely important to make sure that we're doing it right. So those are some of the things that I'm going to talk about in this podcast. So real quick, a couple things to clear up before we get into it. Endurance training is not the same thing as cardio training. Cardio training refers specifically to things that train the cardiovascular system and target the cardiovascular system, while endurance training refers to just training your ability to endure, to fuel all of the different movements and stuff you do on the trail. So endurance training encompasses a much more than just your ability to pedal. So again, a lot of times endurance and cardio training get used interchangeably. And so riders start to just think that, well, endurance training, if I'm not pedaling my bike, then I'm not working on my endurance. And that's not necessarily true. So, you know, again, there's a lot of stuff that you do on your bike that isn't just pedaling. And so endurance training needs to make sure that it's encompassing all of those things and not just looking at one aspect of endurance training, which is the cardiovascular system. So with that said, I don't believe it's possible to efficiently build the best mountain biker possible with what I call a Frankenstein's monster approach to endurance training. And why I call it that, because what you get is, you know, we want to train these different parts of the cardiovascular system or the metabolic system. So we have workouts that, you know, work on lactate threshold, and workouts that, you know, work on, you know, VO2 max. And, you know, we have these different components of the system, and we try to isolate those components and have workouts that train those components in isolation, and then hope that those isolated components are going to come together into a coherent unit on the trail. And so again, that's why I call it Frankenstein's monster. You've got like these different components that are just kind of being pieced together, rather than looking at the whole and trying to design the whole as the program from a more holistic approach. And so what you end up with is, a lot of times when you look at people's cardio programs, you'd have a hard time really figuring out, well, what is it that you do on the trail? Because their cardio workouts often don't resemble what they actually do on the trail and what their weak links and weak points are on the trail. And so when you have a disconnect between what you're trying to do on the trail and what your cardio program's training you to do, then you're going to have difficulty with an efficient transfer of that fitness over to the trail. And, you know, within this context here, too much general cardio training, which is a lot of what this Frankenstein's monster approach is, it's general training. And there's, you've got different aspects you're trying to put together, but too much of that can really interfere with your ability to benefit from your trail rides. And again, I think that this is something that most mountain bikers really don't think about and appreciate like they should, which is that the best cardio training you can possibly do is to ride your bike on the trail. You know, it's the only truly specific physical prep that we can do. If you're looking at, everything, you know, breaks down into one of two categories. You've got general physical prep and you've got specific physical prep. And specific physical prep is the stuff that specifically relates to your sport. It's, you know, playing your sport or, doing things that are, you know, using the same stuff. So in our case as mountain bikers, if you're not on a mountain bike, it's not specific physical prep. In fact, you can go so far as to say, if you're not on a trail on a mountain bike, then it's not specific physical prep. So again, I don't know. I don't necessarily draw the line there, because I understand, again, I'll get into some of this here in a little bit. I understand not everyone has access to trails all of the time. So, you know, for me, I don't mind moving that line a little bit, but I do draw the line at being on a mountain bike. If you're not on a mountain bike, then it is not specific physical prep. And so you need to look at your trail rides as the best cardio training that you can do. But again, like I said, what happens is we get so caught up in trying to use these fancy cardio programs with the Frankenstein's monster approach, where you have all these different workouts trying to focus on these different things and hope that it's going to come together on the trail. And so you have all of this general cardio training going on, and it starts to fatigue you and interfere with your ability to ride hard on the trail and focus on your trail rides as the most effective cardio training that you can do. So again, just kind of some of the, one of the big mistakes that I see people make with that. Now, and again, kind of tying into that, I've touched on this just a little bit already, but road riding on a road bike is, that's not specific physical prep for us. That riding a road bike on the road is specific physical prep for roadies. But for mountain bikers, it's general physical prep, because that's not our sport. But the problem is, again, like, we look at road bikers and they have great endurance, and I've talked about how I hate the term cycling before, because it's like the term ball sport athlete. Like, just because someone uses a ball in their sport doesn't mean that they're the same general athlete, you know? And so just because we're all on bikes doesn't mean that road riding and mountain biking are related much at all from a physical and metabolic standpoint. But anyways, it's kind of getting off subject. But the point is that we look at a group of athletes that have really good endurance and we say, oh, well, look at what they do. They spend a ton of time riding road bikes on the road. So if we spend a ton of time riding road bikes on the road, then we're going to get great endurance too, and that's going to make us better mountain bikers. But if you understand just the basic specific physical prep versus general physical prep guidelines, and you start to see the fallacy in that logic. And so it's very easily remedied, you know, with that. You know, if you have to ride on the road, ride a mountain bike. Like, mountain bikers need to focus on using mountain bikes to train on. I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but it absolutely drives me nuts, because we must be the only group of athletes in the world that are told to practice another sport to get better at your sport. It's kind of crazy if you think about it. That's like telling a baseball player in the off season, go play golf. That's what you need to do. You're swinging something at a little white ball, so it's basically the same thing, right? And there's a lot of things that are similar between swinging a baseball bat and swinging a golf club. So just go play golf. Like, that's what you need to focus on in the off season, is swinging a golf club and playing golf. You know, get a little, you know, batting practice here and there, but really focus on swinging your golf club and playing golf. And that's going to make you a better baseball player. Like, that sounds ridiculous when you put it that way, and with another sport in that context. And yet that's essentially what mountain bikers are being told to do every day, which is buy a road bike and start riding it on the road, essentially practicing and playing another sport in order to get better at their sport. So it just makes no sense logically. So again, if you need to ride on the road, it's real simple. Ride a mountain bike. There's no reason for you to have to ride a road bike on the road if you're trying to get better at being a mountain biker. So as my favorite samurai of all time, Miyamoto Musashi, in the Book of Five Rings said, train with the weapon you use in battle. And it applies to us here. You know, if you want to be very comfortable with the weapon you use in battle, you should use it all the time. You should be very, very comfortable with it. So again, I see a lot of people struggle when they spend a lot of time in the off season on road bikes, getting back onto the trail, because it's a different sport. And so, kind of touching on that, branching off of that thought right there, inefficiency training is, again, one of those things that I think is a very underutilized training method. And it's one of the main reasons that riders have a hard time transitioning their training fitness to the trail. And basically, a road bike is much more efficient than a mountain bike. I mean, that's why you're able to ride it faster. It weighs less, it's got less flex, the tires have less rolling resistance, all of those things. So it's much easier to pedal. So it's a more efficient bicycle than a mountain bike is. But that's not the right way to necessarily move your training if you're looking to really improve your endurance. And so inefficiency training, again, this is where continuing to ride your mountain bike, like, don't try to get on a more efficient bike to train. Stay with at least the same level of efficiency that you use on the trail, or even better, maybe get worse. Like, get a bike that has more suspension, that weighs more, you know, that uses 26-inch tires instead of 650Bs or 29ers if you ride bigger wheels. So, you know, if you ride a bike that has the same basic geometry and feel to it, but is heavier and less pedaling efficient, you're going to become an animal from riding that thing around. So, you know, use those inefficiencies. Instead of looking to get on the road and get on a road bike, maybe look to stay on the trail if you can, and get on a heavier, less efficient bike and pedal that thing around in the off season. Then imagine what's going to happen when you jump back on your race bike. I mean, things are going to feel like grease lightning. Instead of coming from a super light, super efficient road bike and then jumping on your mountain bike on the trail and it feeling like a sluggish pig. Again, perspective plays a big role in your fitness. Like, your mental fatigue is fatigue. So if your mind's telling you, holy crap, this is heavy, it's going to fatigue you. If you jump on there and you're like, holy crap, this thing is light, you know, it doesn't matter. It can be the same exact bike, weighing the same, but if you come at it from a different point, you know, in the off season, if you're training on something less efficient in the off season, then it's going to feel more efficient. If you're training on something more efficient in the off season, it's going to feel less efficient. Now, you know, I'll let you decide which direction you'd rather move when it comes time to start the riding season. So, and again, within that context also comes my favorite subject, which is using flat pedals to help you become a better mountain biker. And again, as I've said many times before, it's not about becoming a flat pedal rider. It's not about flats being better than clipless. It's about using flat pedals as a way to become a better mountain biker, to improve your pedal stroke and all of those things. So again, if you use flat pedals and you become more efficient on them, then when you go back to using clipless pedals, you'll be able to apply a better pedal stroke and be more efficient on them as well. So inefficiency training, very important thing that you need to look at and use as part of your endurance training program. So with all that said, let's get into some advice on, you know, putting things together. So we've talked about some mistakes that people usually make. So what should we be doing? Now, like I mentioned before, endurance is the most specific physical quality that we're going to train. And so what that means is that your endurance is going to be most specific to the pace and movement patterns you use the most. So again, there was a study done where they found that runners, world-class runners, had a very efficient running stride at the paces that they use the most, that they race at. But you get them really far outside of that and their running stride starts to break down. So for example, you know, you take Usain Bolt, who has a beautiful stride for 100, 200 meters, and you have him run a marathon, and honestly, his running stride won't be any more efficient than your average marathon runner because he doesn't train at those paces. His body, he's a great runner, but being a great runner, yes, that helps you across all of the running paces spectrum compared to someone who just sits on the couch and doesn't run at all. But that greatness doesn't necessarily extend to all of those paces, that you become very average in paces that you don't use a lot. And so, this is important to remember for a couple of reasons. One is we need to be thinking about these paces and distances and the movement patterns that we want to use. Again, this is why I like riding on a mountain bike is going to be better than riding on a road bike, because road bikes use slightly different postures, slightly different movement patterns than what we use on our mountain bikes. So we want to make sure we're laying the endurance and the fitness on the movement patterns that we want. So we want to make sure and the paces and times and stuff like that. But also, this also speaks to, if you are a really good rider, a cross-country rider, and then you go downhilling and somebody is killing you doing downhilling, it doesn't mean that you're not fit. It doesn't, maybe you could get a little bit better. But the point is that you're, or flip that. If you're great at, downhilling and you go on a cross-country ride, you can't, actually I see that much more often, downhillers who need to be focused on that specialty of pinning it for that 3 to 5 minutes, they get enamored with being able to gaining the fitness to also go out and do well in a cross country race or something like that. They almost feel that, if I'm not able to perform well at all paces and distances, that says something about me as a rider. And I know back in the day that, when people used to, be racing cross country and downhill and everything on the same bike, and, you had people winning world championships in multiple disciplines, that was a different world. It's a much more, things are a little bit different now. You have much more specialized athletes. And so, trying to compare yourself to riders that ride at different paces than what you use the most, you just got to be careful with that. You don't want to, get drawn into trying to train for something that is not going to benefit your specific racing discipline as much simply because you think that I should be able to do well at all paces. So remember, the paces that you practice the most are what you're going to get the best at. So when you get pulled outside of that, you should expect a little bit of a performance decrease, but that's all right. So so we've got to be specific with that. So like a track runner, you want to think about over and under distance training. So you got to think about some of this is talking about trail rides. I really like to use trail rides as my main form of cardio training. And I'll talk about indoor workouts here in a second. But the best thing that you can do is get out on your mountain bike. You need to be on the trail or, as tough of a road course as you can find, that has climbs and things like you're going to be finding on a trail ride. But, trying to use those. And so you're looking at over and under distance training, like the paces, look at the pace that you need, and you need to be working on paces a little bit faster than that, and you need to be working on paces a little bit slower than that and a little bit over, but not much more. And so again, if you are a cross country racer and your average race takes about an hour and a half, 2 hours, somewhere in that range, so we'll just say an hour and a half, then you know, if that's your target, you know, I want to get to the point where I can finish my race in an hour and a half and, you know, blah, 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 blah. So you're targeting that hour and a half mark. Well, going out on a bunch of 4-hour rides, that's not helping you with that hour and a half mark. You know, you need to be looking at the paces and that distance and the specific stuff there, and then basing your rides on that. So for a cross country rider, I would say most of their rides need to be, you know, in the hour to 2-hour range, maybe a little over 2 hours, again, just kind of depending upon where you're at and how long it takes you to complete your race. But I know that in that hour and a half to 2-hour range, so it shouldn't be much more than, you know, 2 hours that you're going out. And if you're going out for much longer than that, if you're going out for 3 or 4 hours, that's not cross-country training. That's not training, because the pace and the effort level that you're putting down for that long, long ride is different. It's slower than what you need for your cross-country race. And so you need to be focusing when you're out on the trail. Again, this ties back to what I was talking about, how most riders don't utilize and appreciate trail rides like they should. They go out on trail rides and they kind of use them mindlessly. They just, well, I'm going to go out and I'm going to ride for a few hours and just ride hard, and, you know, well, that's going to be good. And I'm going to come home and I'm going to do all this, you know, Frankenstein's monster cardio training, and that's what's really getting me fit. And it's like, no, you know, you need to be using the trail rides, and then you need to be using your cardio training to kind of fill in some gaps here and there. But the trail rides are the most important thing that you can do if you're focusing them around the paces and times that you need to. So again, even on these trail rides, like, it's not just go out and ride for an hour and a half. You know, it's cutting that down. It's, you know, having, like, you know, 30 to 45 minute sections that you're going to ride, and you're going to, you know, be trying to, you know, maintain a certain pace or effort level, and then you can, you know, rest and relax and, you know, time your rest and then do it again and try and decrease those rests. I mean, there's all sorts of different cool ways to utilize this concept to help you, you know, achieve faster paces and then be able to maintain those paces on the trail. And again, like, this is why trail riding is so important, because, you know, bombing through rock gardens, having to climb technical climbs, standing up to, you know, corner, practicing your skills, all of these things tie into your endurance. And the only way that you can practice them is on the trail, on your mountain bike. And so, again, that's why it's such an important thing for you to make sure you're getting the most out of. So again, just, you know, some thoughts for you on, you know, over and under distance training. You got to be thinking about how long, you know, for you enduro racers out there. Yeah, you've got these stages, but nobody's getting points for getting from stage one to stage two the fastest. It's who can pin it on the race course parts the fastest. And so, you know, if those are 10 minutes, 15 minutes long, and you're going out on trail rides and you're just continually riding for like an hour to 2 hours, like, that's not the same thing. Like, you need to be focusing on pinning it hard for, you know, a little bit, going faster for shorter than what you would need to practice or what you need to do in your races. And then maybe a little, you know, some going longer for a little bit slower. So there is room for that over distance stuff. But again, if you're just going out and you're riding for 2 hours and you're calling that enduro training, like, that's not enduro training. Like, enduro racing looks nothing like that. Enduro racing is a series of short, intense sections. And so you need to be riding like that and practicing that in order to get the most out of your trail rides for that. So again, moving on from there. So one of the things that I also recommend is that riders try to figure out, do you need to get faster or do you need to work on sustaining your pace for longer? And again, this is something not a lot of people think about, but, you know, can you even go as fast as you need to go? Like, if you can't even go, you know, achieve the speeds that you need to, then you need to work on getting faster. Like, working on your endurance, like, you're just working on your ability to go slow for longer. Like, that's not what you want. So you need to figure out, do I need to get faster? And if you need to get faster, then you need to focus on the under distance training stuff and probably a little bit more on the speed training stuff. If you can go as fast as you need to, but you have trouble sustaining that pace, then you need to worry about the over distance stuff. And again, you need some under distance and speed element in there, but it's not rocket science, folks. It's think about, what do I need to do? What do I do on the trail? How do I need to improve on the trail? And now within the context of that, okay, now I need to figure out a way to work on that. So again, the specifics of, you know, riding for this long, if you're doing, you know, indoor intervals and stuff like that, you know, there are some, you know, more specifics there, but, you know, you can get a pretty good idea of what a program is going to do for you by looking at it within the context of what you need to improve on the trail. And if you don't see elements in that program that are addressing the realities of the trail, then it's probably not going to do the best to get you better on the trail. So when you do use indoor workouts, one of the important things for you to make sure that you're doing is focusing on your weaknesses, like standing pedaling and low RPM grinds. Just, you know, spending your time working on seated pedaling and high RPM spinning, again, that's not a reality of the trail. I don't care. Again, this is where, again, where some of the Frankenstein's monster stuff comes in. You can justify that because, you know, these intervals or whatever have been shown to improve this specific aspect of cardiovascular markers, you know, X amount of percent, blah, blah, blah. That's great. But again, if you're improving those markers using a method that does not reflect the realities of the trail, then it's just not going to translate over nearly as well. So your workouts need to reflect the type of efforts you're going to use on the trail, and specifically your weak points too. So if you struggle with standing pedaling, you struggle with those low RPM, high tension grind efforts, then you need to make sure that those things are front and center and prominent in your workouts. Now, another thing that I will point out is you want to be careful using heart rate or power or some other external number to drive your training if you don't use those things during a race or on a trail ride. You know, when I ask people, like, you know, well, when you're in a race, how do you gauge how fast you're going? Well, based on how I'm feeling. All right, great. So that's rate of perceived effort, basically. Do you use that as a primary tool when you're training? And often the answer is no. Often the answer is they're you know, looking at heart rate or power or some other external number and not paying as much attention to how they're feeling in that rate of perceived effort. And so, but then when they get out on the trail or they get into a race, they're not using those numbers. They're not looking at power and heart rate. They're based on how they feel. So you can see, again, the disconnect there. So use those numbers to help guide your training, but they don't need to drive your training. You know, make sure you're focusing on how you're feeling, your, you know, pacing strategy, stuff like that. Like, those are the things that you need to be focused on. Another thing I want to point out, especially since this is the off season right now, is right now there should be a focus on using cross training, especially early on in the off season, because it's going to help avoid pattern overuse injuries. You're getting away from using the same muscles and the same joints and the same movements in the same ways over and over and over again. And it's going to challenge the cardio system in, like, new and more challenging ways. Like, you become very efficient at what you do. So, for example, you know, if they measure someone's if they measure his VO2 max running, it will very likely be better than if they measure his VO2 max in a cycling test. Because, and vice versa, you take a cyclist and measure them cycling versus running, and again, in a large number of people, you will see a marked difference in their VO2 max because they're the movements that they use the most are most efficient at. And so when you're using these different movements and stuff, you're challenging the cardio system. It's actually having to work harder to, you know, and gets more work trying to fuel things that you're not used to doing. And so this is also one of the reasons, again, I don't mean to keep harping on this, but again, if you like riding a road bike, that's fine. But if you're riding a road bike because you think you need to for mountain bike training, again, I just try to keep pointing out why you don't need to, but riding a road bike, like I've already said, it's general physical prep. So it falls under the cross training category for us. But the problem is that it's not far enough removed from mountain biking to offer the same benefits. You're still opening yourself up to a lot of the pattern overuse injuries. You're not challenging the cardio system as much as you would with something completely removed from cycling, but it's not the same thing as mountain biking. So you're not getting, you know, all of the benefits. So again, like, road biking as a cross, or riding a road bike as a cross training tool, is really one of the worst things I think you can do as a mountain biker. You either need to be on a mountain bike or you need to be doing something that has nothing to do with cycling. Something else I like to use in the gym, you know, I've talked about how there's a lot more than just pedaling. So using things like combination drills, combo drills, where you're doing several different strength training exercises in a row, kettlebell swings are also a really great way to work on this. But being able to work on the non-pedaling endurance side of things in the gym is really important during the off season. So again, that's why I like to use those elements there, or, you know, those tools there, because again, you know, being able to, there's just so much more that's going on than just pedaling. So working the pedaling is great, but being able to work those other aspects is important too. And that's where trail rides come in, but also where some of the combo drills and the kettlebell swings and stuff. So again, while the specifics are really hard to get into, because, you know, what a downhiller needs versus what an enduro racer needs versus what a cross-country racer needs, you know, there are some similarities, but there's definitely differences. And the big differences, again, are the paces and the times and the distances that they're riding, and that you have to really look at those things when you're developing and getting your program put together. But in general, I would suggest that 2 hard cardio days a week are plenty to see results. You can do more days, but they need to be moderate and easy days to keep the training load from being too much. Remember that more is not better, better is better. So 2 high-quality cardio workouts, whether those are trail rides or indoor cardio workouts, if you're not able to get out on the trail, or you know, workouts you're doing on a mountain bike on the road, 2 hard days a week are plenty. So if you're putting in 2 hard trail rides and you're trying to get in 2 hard cardio workouts on top of that, again, that's what I'm talking about, where too much general training starts to interfere, because there's no way you're going to be able to put down and ride as hard on those trail rides if you're also trying to put in 2 hard cardio training sessions, you know, with the indoor trainer or whatever it is, besides out on the road or whatever. But so if you're able to get out the 2 days, if you're able to get those other days in, and then they need to be moderate or easy days, instead of just trying to fit in more and more hard days. So with that said, and kind of like drawing things to a close here, remember the role that drugs have played in our ideas about endurance and cardio training. And, you know, most of the cyclists, most of the athletes out there are using things that we don't have access to, both legal and illegal. And that, you know, for most of us, it's really about smart energy management more than just working harder and harder. And this idea of, like, every year you need to put in more miles, you need to be working harder than you were the year before, and seeing this, you know, increase in intensity and volume from year to year to year, man, that's not realistic for most of us, and especially if you're not chemically enhanced. Like, drugs have really screwed up our ideas of what is possible and what is optimal when it comes to cardio training and just kind of training in general. But cardio training for us is one of those big areas that we really get skewed ideas of what we should be doing based on the role that drugs have played at the professional level. And so again, 1 to 2 really high quality hard training days, coupled with these other things I'm talking about, the flexibility and the strength and the skills and the speed, that's plenty for you to get really, really great results. I mean, it's not a matter of seeing how much you can survive. It's a matter of seeing how little you can do to get the best results possible, so that you have the energy that you need to both recover from your workouts and to put into your sport, so that when you do get a chance to go out on a trail ride, you are able to ride hard and have fun and not be dragging and tired from it. So again, that's just something to kind of think about when you're looking at your cardio program, that more is not better, and sometimes less is better. That a lot of riders, actually, their fatigue is masking their fitness. They get in this downward spiral where they feel like they need to get fitter, so they start doing more cardio training. The more cardio training starts to drag them down, so they feel less fit, so they feel like they got to do more of it, and you just get in this vicious downward spiral, when a lot of times it's a matter of doing less cardio training, especially less general cardio training, and trying to focus more on trail rides, stuff on our mountain bikes, and when we are doing our indoor workouts, on the specific elements that make mountain biking unique, like the standing pedaling and the low RPM, high tension grinds and stuff like that. So again, just some things to keep in mind with your cardio workout and your endurance workout. Remember, I guess I had to catch myself. I still kind of use those terms interchangeably myself a bit, but remember, Endurance training is not the same thing as cardio training. Cardio training is a part of endurance training, but endurance training encompasses all of the things that you need on the trail in order to ride as hard and as fast and as long as you want to. And that's really what it's all about. So once again, that's going to do it for this podcast. And hope giving you guys some things to think about when it comes to your off-season endurance training and just kind of your endurance training in general. And again, got a lot of great resources on my blog at bikejames.com. You know, definitely should come check me out there. If you got any questions or comments about this podcast, you can find the blog post there and post them there. I'll get to them as soon as I can. And again, got a lot of great resources there for you to check out. A lot of articles on this stuff, on endurance training, cardio training, and different ways to kind of use it. So again, if you're looking for some more info, then check me out there. So that does it for this edition of the MTB Strength Coach Podcast. Once again, this is your coach, James Wilson, and I will talk to you in the next one.